And so the book of Ephesians is broken into these two powerful messages. The first half is our position in Christ. The second half is how we live. Intentional living primarily resides in the chapters on the right. How are we to actually live our faith? If you know Jesus Christ, how is it that you're to live intentionally?
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy continues his teaching, What is Intentional Living? Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt. And I do welcome you to our Intentional Living Center here today. We are continuing this series on what is intentional living. Briefly, you heard me at the beginning there from the excerpt from today's teaching talk about the two halves of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters of Ephesians are beautiful passages, a beautiful part of Scripture that really allows us to experience God's intentional love for us. And if you haven't really meditated and read and reread the first three chapters of Ephesians, you ought to. And then the last three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, are the action chapters that really focus on our intentional love back to Him and to the world around us. They certainly are intentional living passages. We're going to talk more about that today as we're starting or on the second day of this series on what is intentional living. If you have a thought, if God's prompted you as you hear this series to really reflect on something going on in your own life, we'd love to hear what it is, how you're choosing to be intentional, what you're wrestling with, how we can pray with you. Just call us at 888-888-1717 and press number 2. All right, let's go to the teaching studio and continue today. But every day we die to ourselves and say, this is not about me. That is such a contrary message today, folks. Even for the Christian community. That's not the way we approach our Christian walk, mostly. We go to church. We want the church to measure up to what we want. I'm saying we live in a culture today where it is a hard teaching to tell people to be intentional as a follower of Christ means getting out of your comfort zone. You've got to change how you think, your thinking. You got to change your heart. You got to change what you do, your head, heart, and hand. It's part of the, one of the messages, right? Change your head, heart, and hand. In other words, to live in a way that will honor Christ. But here's the reality. Living an intentional life in Christ will benefit you. There's a part of this. God says that He does things for our good, right? And so if we choose to live an intentional life, if I choose to love Donna more intentionally, my life is going to be better. Not only hers, but mine. If I choose to be a good steward in terms of intentionality with my finances, that's going to be better. I'm going to have a better life. If I choose to take better care of my health, I'm going to benefit by that. And so this message of intentional living brings glory to Christ, brings glory to God, but benefit to myself. Another point is that intentional living is a deeply biblical way of living. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, some of the phrases you've heard me talk about with intentional living, you hear me teach, intentional living is to know your purpose, to live your purpose, and to finish strong. That resonates, eh? That's it. What's our purpose? Live your purpose, finish life strong. You've heard me say that intentional living is doing the next right one thing. That's why I wear this little wristband. What is the next right one thing to do? What is it that God would have you do today? That is intentional living. You've heard me say that intentional living is to set godly goals, take daily action. But what's the biblical basis of this? Where does this really come from? And back in 2013, some of you who were here, many of you were here, I did a lesson on before and after, and I talked about the book of Ephesians. Some of you may remember that I taught this lesson. And I want to just revisit it because it's going to build to the basis of what intentional living is biblically, why this is a biblically based way of approaching our life. If you look at the book of Ephesians, we see that it's broken, six chapters broken into really two segments. The first three chapters of Ephesians are a setup for the last four chapters of Ephesians. Now, I'm not going to get deep into the weeds on this because this isn't the entire focus of my lesson. But let me just share with you for your own Bible study. If you want to do a study on the book of Ephesians, you'll see that in chapters 1 through 3, there's really the verses talk about our belief, why we believe what we believe, and how powerful our beliefs are. In the second three chapters of the book of Ephesians, it talks about our behavior. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are all about our behavior. It talks about husbands with wives. It talks about the workplace. It talks about raising our children. It talks about becoming a new man or new woman in Christ. It talks about all of the behaviors. The second half is really a lot of what intentional living is. Intentional living is really based on a lot of the second half. How do we live? How do we actually take what we say we believe, and then how do we actually practice it? In the first three chapters, we hear about orthodoxy, you know, the great doctrines, and I'll go through some of them in just a moment. And in the second half of the book, it's the orthopraxy. What is that big word meaning? It's how we practice the orthodoxy. What's your orthodoxy? What do you believe? And then how do you actually practice it? Paul's setting this up. This book of Ephesians is Paul's letter from prison. It's not a letter, it's not a feel-good letter. It's not a letter of that he's writing to the Philippians and so on. This is a very practical book. He's saying, hey, here's how you live your life. This is how we as Christians are to live. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, we see God's intentional love. In the second half, we see our intentional response to that love. I kind of see intentional living as these two sides of that coin. The first three chapters of Ephesians, it's really powerful in terms of our position. You want to be encouraged in who you are in Christ? Read the first three chapters of Ephesians. It ends with that great benediction and then turns to the therefore in chapter 4. The point of life is in the first three chapters. The last three chapters, the process of life. It's our position in Christ in the first three chapters, and it's our obedience to Christ. Now let me show you. I'm going to just highlight some of the verses that we see in the first three chapters. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, he chose you. In verse 5, he adopted you. Verse 7, he redeemed you. Verse 13, he gave you the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1, he made you alive in Christ.
Thank you for listening to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Good morning, Dr. Randy. My name is Jeff. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. Originally from New York, but I've been out here 20 years now. I just want to say how blessed I have been. I took the 30-day challenge probably in February or March of 2016, and I've never turned back. It's just been a blessing in my life. I've had some challenges in my marriage from kind of watching some porn and then smoking cigarettes that I promised my wife of 8 years that I would quit before we got married, and it didn't happen. So I've been struggling for many years, and I finally had to find something that would help me, and that was Family Life Radio. Listening to your programs has been an inspiration to me. Since I started, I have joined a Bible study, small men's group, I should say, and then I've joined another organization that I volunteer, and I cook for a men's working shelter, and that also helps heal my heart, makes me feel like a better person. I can give back to people that need guidance. And I credit you, Dr. Randy, for just giving us the tools that we need to get closer to God. And it finally, by listening to your radio station and getting education, it's been happening. So I'm so blessed today. I'm so thankful for you, for Jesus, and for the people that I surround myself with today. It's just been amazing and a blessing. So, and I want to continue to share that love with others. I take your CDs that you send me every month, and I'm making a library for anybody that might possibly come in my path that needs some inspiration, some education. I pass that on to them. So thank you for sending them to me. I continue to do some great work with that, following your footsteps. God bless you.
Whether you want to order today's program or become a monthly member, we've got some great people who'd love to talk to you. Call 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4 during West Coast business hours. But if it's earlier or later than that, you can always go online at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as Dr. Randy continues his teaching.
I kind of see intentional living as these two sides of that coin. The first three chapters of Ephesians, it's really powerful in terms of our position. You want to be encouraged in who you are in Christ? Read the first three chapters of Ephesians. The point of life is in the first three chapters. The last three chapters, the process of life. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, He chose you. In verse 5, He adopted you. Verse 7, He redeemed you. Chapter 2, verse 1, He made you alive in Christ. He saved you by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That great pet. We all know that, right? We're saved by grace and by faith. It's not of ourselves. He made you for good works, 2:10. He ends the chapter 3 of Ephesians with a great benediction that we often pray in our churches. It's a great benediction of this truth, and I can see Paul sharing with us. This is encouraging. You want to give hope-filled messages on the radio, teach this. We have a whole print that we based on this. We did a whole teaching on this. And then Paul starts in chapter 4. He begins by using the word therefore. And like my pastor always used to say, what's it there for? You know, it's therefore because Paul says, walk worthy of your calling. He says, be renewed in your spirit, 4:23. Work with your hands, 4:28. Redeem the time, 5:16. Be filled with the Spirit, 5:18. Submit to one another, 5:21. Wives, submit to your husbands, 5:22. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, 5:25. Children, obey your parents, 6:1. And then work is unto the Lord. And then in chapter 6, we see that great putting on the armor of Christ, right? And so the book of Ephesians is broken into these two powerful messages. The first half is our position in Christ. The second half is how we live. Intentional living primarily resides in the chapters on the right. How are we to actually live our faith? If you know Jesus Christ, how is it that you're to live intentionally? Okay? And so the intentional living message is really, truly to turn intention. This is critical. Turn intention into goals. So often what we do is we turn our goals out of our own thoughts. What do we want? A goal that becomes something that motivated out of our own heart. And if we're going to be intentional as Christians, the goal must come from God's intention. So I would ask the question in the five essential areas. And again, I'm not going to answer this. This is just sort of a primer, again, bringing us back to what intentional living is. If there's five essential areas of life, and one of them is faith, what is God's intention? What does the Bible teach you about living intentionally in your faith? There's where your goals come from. Your goals need to come from God's intention for growing your faith. What about your family? The Bible's not silent. We just read some of the verses. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. These are intentions, and we should build the goals that we have out of those intentions from God. And, well, you think of family, you think of your finances. The Bible is very clear about money, very clear about work. And those five all have intentions that God speak to in His Word. And intentional living, then, is turning these into this. And I'm not going to go, this is, again, you've seen this before, the little matrix that I use that says, hey, what are intentions into goals? How strong are you in that? And then actions into habits. How good are you in that? Put yourself in a quadrant. You're either going to be intentional, you're going to be unintentional, you're going to be good intentioned, or you're going to be a slug, right? That's basically what we're saying in those four. And so that's a part of what we teach as a primer to what I want to share with you now. Intentional living, folks, what we are teaching with intentional living on the radio, what we teach in my conferences, and I'm seeing it more and more as I do a conference, people resonate to it. They like it. But when they get down to what does it actually mean to how I live, it's difficult. Because intentional living is in direct conflict with the cultural norms. Our culture teaches please yourself. And once you start getting intentional living into how are you going to actually live your life in obedience to Christ, people check out on you, right? They check out on you. And in that process, we lose what God's intention is. So a welcomed and unexpected consequence of intentional living, while bringing glory to God, as I said, we're benefiting ourselves. I want to share with you 10 and our intentionals. I want to share what I believe intentional living does for us, why this message is important. And then I'm going to add an 11th one because I couldn't stop at 10, okay? So I'm going to give you the intentionals plus one as an added bonus. First of all, when we live intentionally and we make a decision to do so, it helps us live our purpose. And that's just the starting point on these intentionals plus one, as I couldn't limit to 10. I had 11 things to share, and we'll get into those as we're in a four-day, four-part series on what is intentional living. Your thoughts are always welcome. 888-888-1717 and press number 2. Can I just share with you that I appreciate you guys. I appreciate men and women, young and old, different parts of the country, all of you who are standing with us in your faithful, ongoing financial support for Intentional Living. And right now, as you become a monthly member of the Intentional Living Center, every month we're going to be sending you teaching from me to you to say thanks. And in addition, right now, with our thanks for your generous gift of any amount, monthly or single, we're going to send you the brand new 16-month wall calendar, You Belong Here. Be reminded every day that you are a child of God and a part of His family. And it's our gift to you as you share that gift with the ministry today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Okay. Coming up, I'm going to continue my conversation with Robert McFarlane, our newest intentional living content contributor, a man who really understands and is passionate with us about intentional living.
Is there a part of your job or week that you just dread? Does it hang over your head like a bad homework assignment? Use it to get more done. I'll tell you how.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
We all start the day with a list of stuff we want to get done. Only some people finish the list. How do they do it? Most likely they do the hardest task the first thing in the day. Your mind is the sharpest in the morning and you still have fresh energy and perspective. Don't waste it on the easy job. Take the thing you don't want to do and do it. When you check that off your list, you'll free up a bunch of brain space. And it makes everything else you do a little easier. So whether it's a difficult phone call or a hard piece of paperwork, knock it out the first thing. You can even use the fun task to reward yourself for getting the hard one done. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
For me, it's just a constant reminder every time I look at it that God is with me and He loves me.
Scripture verses and encouraging words. Every day you'll be reminded that you belong to God as a child of God. With your gift today, we'll send you the beautiful new 2018 calendar from Intentional Living as our gift.
They're always asking where I got my calendar because the pictures and verses of Scripture are so captivating.
The calendar starts in September of this year, so you can begin using it right away. You Belong Here is the title of the new 2018 16-month calendar, and it can be yours. Go to theintentionallife.com to give your gift today to Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Robert McFarlane's my guest today. He's president of Transformational Impact and one of our new contributors here at the Intentional Living Minute, and you'll hear him on the air from time to time. He's a coach that works with business leaders, has a passion to help people identify. In fact, it says to help them identify as a consultant their brand. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Randy.
Hey, what do you mean by brand? How do you help a ministry leader or leader discover their brand? What does that mean?
Well, really, it's how they want to communicate who they are. Every organization really has a brand, as you know, Randy. And so that being able to identify who they are internally and how that can be expressed through the organization. Everything starts with leadership, as you know. And then from leadership, being able to then define the culture of the organization that would need to support that idea, that message, that thought, that focus, and then be able to exhibit that or to express that through the brand of the organization.
That's interesting. I know we see brands, we understand brands more than we used to in the past. Brands, there's so much noise now, it's hard to differentiate yourself. And I know in the business community, that's the same, which kind of leads me to a thought. As you work with ministry leaders and people about being intentional in their life and so on, do you ever find sometimes that they're not in the sweet spot of what God has for them? I mean, they're being intentional, they're doing a lot of things, but they really haven't answered the why I'm doing this question. And as a result, there's a disconnect or a lack of energy or a passion about what they're doing.
Absolutely. And many times it's because they don't know who they are. They may be very successful in what they're doing, but they may not feel it deep down because they really haven't gotten in touch with who God wants them to be. So it's really stripping away all that stuff that we tend to believe about ourselves from wherever it is, and really intentionally being able to focus on, well, who does God say I am? Yeah. How can I then live out what God has for me? Being able to let God's love really percolate through their whole system of thinking so they can then express that into a life well lived, focusing on what God would have them do.
You know, we talk about turning intentions into goals, goals into actions, actions into habits, and habits will change our life if they're the right ones. And I mentioned yesterday, I wanted you to talk a little bit about your consulting work or coaching work. What are some habits, specific habits that you see people have, let's say in the business setting, that help them or hurt them?
Well, actually, Randy, what I've found is that so much of life really focuses on the spiritual, and everything comes back to that. What I found is that if somebody as a business leader actually will have a consistent habit of spending time with the Lord on a daily basis, that will change so much of the rest of their life. I've been surprised, actually, in terms of the number of leaders I've worked with call themselves Christians who may not necessarily spend time in the Word. And that really changes in terms of how God is going to be able to speak to them, how they're going to be able to live out what God wants them to do, and as a result, then being able to express that in that life well lived.
So you really see spiritual habits as the beginning point of being successful as a Christian in the business world, or in any part of our life, actually.
Absolutely. I think that, as I said before on the program yesterday, I talked about how we need to live lives of integrity where all the pieces of a life fit together instead of compartmentalizing the different areas of our life. So when we have our spiritual foundation really become the crux, the focus of even our business life, then everything fits together and God is able to use us in a way that we would possibly never have seen.
Robert McFarland's joining us here yesterday and today. He's president of Transformational Impact and one of our brand new contributors in the area of leadership coaching. You'll be hearing him on our Intentional Living Minute and here on the program as well. And Robert, we were talking before we came on the air that you're going to be a newly branded author. Congratulations. Tell us in just a minute. We can't point to the book yet because it's not in print, but what's your passion with this new book that you've written?
Well, thank you, Randy. It's a book that's been percolating for a while. God told me that this was a book that was needed, so I dutifully wrote it. It was based on a research project I did last year where I went out to 589 people across the country in different industries and different ethnicities and really asked them, if you could tell your boss anything, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And so I got four very interesting answers, or actually four themes that emerged from the research that really talked about the dysfunctional American workforce. And so what the book really does is it talks about how we need to create a company culture that that biblically addresses those four issues.
Can you give us a sneak preview of some of them, or at least one?
Well, sure. One thing you probably would even see you've probably seen this in other places, is that there is a definite problem with communication.
Yeah.
Many places, many offices have problems with communication, at least the perception of problems with communication. Another is appreciation, that not enough appreciation is really extended there at the workplace. Another is morale. The morale is really weak. And then finally, the fact that there, unfortunately, are many managers that just don't know how to manage. Mm. And so those are the four areas that we see that are really coming up through the research that are addressed in the book. And the book is right now with a working title is What Your Employees Wish You Knew.
We'll look forward to that being out in the weeks ahead here. Hey, Robert, first of all, I appreciate you joining us as one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center, and for our friendship and your good counsel. And we'll look forward to hearing your contribution in the weeks ahead.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate the time. It's good to be with you.
This is how I'm choosing to live an intentional Christ-like life, by never giving up. We're all sinners, but he loves us no matter what. And when times get hard, too many Christians give up and fade away. By not giving up, and the adversity he sends my way brings me back to him. And that's how I'm choosing to be intentional. My name is Catherine. Thank you very much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Catherine, for telling us what we all need to be reminded of. Never give up. I think Winston Churchill said something about that. Never give up. And, of course, that's true in our faith walk as well, isn't it? If you just joined us, this is the Intentional Living Half Hour from our Intentional Living Center. We're going through the series on What is Intentional Living. You can hear the broadcast again online through our website at theintentionallife.com. And for members, every month, because of your ongoing monthly support, you receive my teaching on CD. And right now I'm inviting you, if you're not a member, to come and join us. You can get my coaching CDs when you become a member of the Intentional Living Center today with your monthly commitment. And right now, with our thanks for your generous gift of any amount, monthly or single, we're going to send you the You Belong Here 16-month wall calendar. It's our gift to you, and it'll help you be reminded every day, that you are a child of God and a part of His intentional family. And we thank you for standing with us. Just go to theintentionallife.com and click on Donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. We have more on this topic of what is intentional living next time from our Intentional Living Center. I hope you'll come and join us as we unpack God's intention for your life.